setting your clocks forward this morning. It'll be a special party gift for you after church. Now we're going to see who walks in at 11 o'clock, okay? Don't stare. Well, I'm glad you're with us today. Remember to fill out your Connect cards. That's how we record your attendance with us today and how we can track down your credit score for you. So be sure to fill those out and drop them in the offering plate this morning. No, but I would appreciate if you do that. If you're first-time visitors or returning guests to us today, welcome back or welcome. So we're glad you're with us today. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Good day. It's a good day. Just a couple of quick announcements. We're going to have some new members joining on March 22nd. I've chosen that day because that seems to be the less congested day of this month leading up to Christmas. We do have several folks. If you're interested in joining Lakeside United Methodist Church as a member, and I have a list of folks that have already been in conversation with, but if you're interested in that, be sure and see me either today. You can just come by and introduce yourself to me, and we can make that happen on the 22nd, or call me in the office this week, and I would be glad and honored to have you all joining as a member of our congregation. Now, you can still come to church if you're not a member. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, we still allow you to come, even if you're... But part of my message today, there will be a surcharge if you're not a member. I will cover that in my message today. So, just a reminder as well, there's a blurb in your bulletins today about the United Methodist Women's Spring Banquet and Fashion Show on March 20th. It's time to start getting your tickets for that. It's always a great time, a good time of fellowship, and see the latest fashion. So come and enjoy our dinner and fashion show on the 20th. There's several ladies listed there in your bulletin that you can purchase tickets from, so I would encourage you to do that as well. Our last reminder of our children's home trip, we have procured two vans to go up to Enterprise, Florida, to the United Methodist Children's Home. I think we have about 20 people signed up, so there's room for a couple more. But we have to give them a number tomorrow, so if you let me know today, if you add your name to the list is there in the narthex. It's going to be a great trip. If you haven't been to the Methodist Children's Home, it's really worth your while to go and see where... This church contributes a lot to that mission, so you can go and see where your dollars are at work and meet some of the children, and it's a great day on campus there, so I would encourage you all to do that as well. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship today.
Thank you.
577.
Your name.
be right there. Sorry. You see that man walk up here and hand me this big stack of stuff? Good morning. You little young, you little ladies look beautiful this morning. Sophia got a new dress for her grandparents. Your birthday? She's 6 years old. Mine was February 12th. I think special people are born in February. Anyone else agree? Well, good morning again. How are you? You know what I was thinking? The church always could use some money, couldn't it? Huh? The church could always use... I was thinking of having a flea market in here. Huh? Do you like flea markets? Yeah? No, you don't know? What do you think? I think we could open this up on Fridays and Saturdays for a flea market. Good idea? Why not? Doggone it, so the council you don't think is going to approve that, do you? You need to call a special meeting to get flea market approved. Well, you know, we're going to talk about today, too, about Jesus going into the temple during this time when he came into Jerusalem and ran out people having a flea market. Can you believe that? In the temple, there was people there selling animals and changing money and doing all those things. Why would you do that in a church? To make money? Well, I thought that'd be a good thing for us to do, don't you? No? Well, it's not really a good idea because Jesus was very upset. When he went in, what did he do? Do you remember the story when he went into the temple and saw all that going on? Because Jesus is a meek and mild person, right? He's like a real gentle man. You've heard that? He's real gentle, very nice. He wouldn't hurt a flea, right? Well, he got mad when he went to the temple and here's all these people selling animals and all kinds of things in the church. And he made a whip and he went after them. Kicked their tables over, ran them out. Now that's not the Jesus I know. Is it the Jesus you know? Righteous anger, that's called. Are we allowed to have righteous anger? I think we can, right? Righteous anger is okay. Well, Jesus was mad that day and he ran them out and said, get out of my Father's house. You can't come in here and do that kind of thing. This is church. So if I were to want to have a flea market in here, you know what? That might be a way to get Jesus to show up. Wait a minute. Let me think about that for a minute. Think we can get him back if we have a flea market? Just to trick him into coming back. Can you trick Jesus?
No.
Hmm. Some of us try to, don't we? Anyone ever tried to trick Jesus? The honest ones are raising their hands.
Didn't work.
Okay, don't fall asleep on me. I know this is going a little long, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so we're not going to have a flea market because we may get in trouble, right? God may say, stop. Get out of here with that mess. So we've got to remember that God knows our hearts. If we try to do things that go against God, He knows what we're up to. Because the story in the Bible is those folks were trying, they were greedy. They were trying to make money and steal from the people. They were doing bad things. And God didn't like that. And Jesus came in and He run them off. Make sense? Keep your head like this. I'll pray and we'll go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful young people here today. We celebrate with you birthdays and just a sense of Jesus Christ being in our life. Father, I pray a blessing for them that we would always be right in the eyes of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
still think the flea market's an okay. Okay, I did forget an announcement. That the garage sale?
Which is like the flea market.
Okay, we're not having a flea market in the church, but I did forget to announce that next Saturday, correct? Next Saturday, huh?
This Saturday.
This coming Saturday, right? Next Saturday. The men, United Methodist men, are having a garage sale out back. So we've removed it from the sanctuary property and we've moved it to out by the garden. I'm going to come early to see if Jesus shows up. I hope he's okay with our garage sale. So, but I did forget to announce that. So be sure and come out and support the United Methodist men. And Michael said if anyone has things to pick up, he could come and make arrangements with that as well. So just call the office if you have things that would like to be picked up. So we are willing to try the garage sale around. So very good. Well, this is the time in our service when we go to the Lord in prayer. And from the stack of the cards this morning, it seems that we have plenty of folks needing God's attention this morning. So let's take this time now to raise them up as well. We spoke to Luann last night. Marianne Davis had her surgery on Friday. She was recovering well. She did well with the surgery. But it could be 6 weeks in rehab for Marianne, so keep her in your prayers. Tammy Malden as well. She had surgery on her back on Friday. It was very successful, so we're glad for that. Praises for that and continued healing. Mary Hannah came home on Wednesday. Playing phone tag with her. I did talk to Stan, and he sounded very well on the telephone. So, Mary Hannah for continued recovery. She spent a few days in JFK. A friend of ours, Sister in Christ, Diane Jordan, she went in for a routine colonoscopy this week, and they found out she has stage 4 liver cancer. It is just devastating news. No symptoms. A small tumor in her colon turned out to be. Keep the Jordan family in your prayers this week. Ina Ruddy, lifting up Ina this morning. Mary Hannah, praises and thanks for the prayers. And we are having a wedding next Saturday. The Cruisers are lifting up their granddaughter and her fiance. We'll be doing a wedding here next Saturday for Brittany and Israel. So keep them in your prayers and the entire family. For Rosemary as well, for continued recovery after her surgery. Lifting up Melanie Surringer, that the Holy Spirit would continue to heal her and bless her soul. Kathy Chandler's having surgery tomorrow to remove a cancer from her nose, but keep her as well. Bevan Epp's niece, Jenny, was in a terrible automobile accident yesterday in Missouri, so keep her. She's in a hospital in Missouri, so keep Jenny in your prayers. Lifting up Leonard today. David Snyder as well, he's had some complications from diabetes. Lifting him up today. And, he's really been out of work and had a lot of problems with his foot. So it's really keep that family prayed up, and David especially. All right, we do have some praises. Prayed last week for Marcella to pass her state exam for license and for insurance, and she passed that exam. Teresa Wellhelm of Rossman and Rebecca down in Bogota, Colombia. They did purchase a house in a safer area, so praise for that. And Ruthie will be traveling up to Cleveland this week for the funeral and the passing of her stepdaughter, Cassie, and that family. She had a 7 and a 4 year old that she left behind. So just devastating news this week. So keep Ruthie and Cassie and her family in your prayers. And praise for birthdays today. We have Larry and Bill has birthdays today, so happy birthday. I know there's many things on your heart this morning, many troublesome things. that the praises are well and are well received by God as well. So let's now go before the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving God, you have heard our pleadings this morning. The list is long of those needing a miraculous healing, for continued recovery from surgeries, and just recovery from illnesses, Lord. And Father, the cold and flu bug that has been going through our church, we lift everyone that's been touched by that as well up to you today. Tom Harden as well was here last week, but did develop a cold after being out, so we just lift Tom especially up to you today as well. Father God, we are a grateful people. We have an opportunity to come and bring our troubles as well as our praise and thanksgiving to the foot of the cross. Father, today we heard the list of names listed and those that go unspoken in our hearts. Father, we pray for the day when illness and injury and sickness will not keep us mired in the muck of life, that we would be able to rejoice in praise and thanksgiving to a loving and giving God without any interference from our bodily misgivings, or when our body does not respond, and let us rejoice in the everlasting life of Christ. Father God, we lift up this morning our community. Father, as we seek ways to reach out and to just call people into a relationship with Jesus. Father, your instructions to us are not complicated. We are to know who our Savior is, and we are to tell others. We are to be one beggar telling another where to find bread. Father God, we are grateful to be those people. Father, I lift up a small group ministry in this church. As we gather in Christ's name in people's houses and around tables of fellowship and food and fun and of times of Bible study and times of praise and worship music and our choir and all the groups in our church, Lord, that come together to recognize you as our Savior and to as well invite others into that journey. So, Father, we ask your blessing upon us today as we pray in Christ's name that you would hear us, that in your time you will answer each of these prayers. Father, be with us today as we celebrate our fellowship in the family of God. Let us now honor God in our prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
Father God, receive our blessings with the love and honor that we give back to you this morning. We pray a blessing upon this, our offering. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Of the money changers and overturned their tables.
To those who sold doves, he said, Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? His disciples remembered that it is written, Zeal for your house will consume me. Then the Jews demanded of him, What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. I'm supposed to stop at 22. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, even where I fall short, I ask your mercy and grace upon me. Father, I pray that for each one of us today, that we would receive the message of the gospel into our hearts. Father, we all seek your mercy, and we all seek your grace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The story was just getting good. You know, when we read this story in the Bible, as I was joking a little earlier, do we see the Jesus mild and meek, that gentle shepherd? I think he was PO'd. You think? He came in and cleaned house. He made a whip. He went in and kicked the tables, sent them on their way. We're going to look into that a little bit today, as to what was in the hearts of the people there extorting, and basically it was extortion, in the name of religion, in the name of the temple elders. We've got to be careful of that. The story in this, Jesus in this story is not the Lamb of God. He's the Lion of Judah. We see a different side of the Jesus we would like to see. Has anyone suffered the wrath of God in their life? Not me. I've been pretty good. How about you? You know, we have things happen in our life and we think, God, why is that happening? What have I done? There's righteous anger. I spoke of that a little earlier as well. Is it okay to be angry? It was okay for Jesus to be angry, wasn't it? It's okay to be angry, but it's righteous anger. Now wait a minute, what does that mean? Because the paper boy throws my paper in the bushes and the sprinkler comes on and gets it all wet, can I be angry? Or we see injustice in the world and we speak out against it. You know, the things of righteous anger have a little heavier price to pay for the most part, don't they? There's a heavier price to pay. Ephesians 4:26 says, Be angry, but do not sin. Well, sinning is the best part of being angry. I can get mad and I can make my point. We see anger on display here in Jesus. I would like for us to first put into context what's going on here. And we were just there, 2 weeks ago now, 2.5 weeks ago, looking out over where the Temple Mount was. Let's put into context what Jesus was doing that week. It was time for the Passover. Everyone from far and near was coming to the temple to be extorted by the people in the temple. They were celebrating their freedom from slavery. You all know the Passover story, right? Anyone heard it before? It's what makes the Jewish people Jewish. It's what makes them God's people. So to celebrate Passover, they had to make sacrifices. Aren't you glad we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore in church?
Amen.
I don't believe this nice carpet would hold up to that, do you? We've gone to temple sites where they've had altars where they sacrificed their animals. It's not nearly as nice as this. So this festival that we're having here, Passover, is when people come from far and wide and come to the temple. You remember the temple is made up of four courts, right? Four parts, four precincts. To make sense of this, it helps to understand what was taking place here. The temple was built where? Those of you that just got back from there, where was the temple built?
Jerusalem.
Mount Zion, right? Mount Zion in Jerusalem. We walked around, we saw the big stones that the Roman soldiers had knocked over from one another. It was huge. It was a huge place. Had four courts. And obviously, the center, the first was the Holy of Holies. The second was the court of Israelites. It was a huge courtyard. It's where Jewish worshipers came together, primarily men, but on special occasions they invited the women in. And the third court was the court of the women. They had their own special areas. When we were at the Western Wall, believe it or not, they still practice that tradition. And you know what? The men's wall is about, what would you say, guys, 100 yards, 150 yards long? How big is the women's portion of the wall? About 30 or 40 yards. Because women don't have near as many problems as men. Right? You agree with that? Women's lives are a lot more peaceful than men. Okay, moving on. This fourth courtyard was what? It's where you and I would be. The court of the Gentiles. Now, who are the Gentiles at this portion? At this stage of the story, who are the Gentiles?
Everybody
else that had come and wanted to convert to Judaism. Because God's order to the Israelites were, allow everyone in. Everyone is welcome. Why did they have a flea market in the Gentiles section? Most outer. The farthest courtyard from the holiest, holy of holies. They even had signs that if you go beyond this point, you will be killed. So far, leadership council hasn't indicated any need for us to put the signs up at the door that if you come beyond this point, you will be killed. That seems ridiculous, doesn't it? But there was actually that rule in the temple. The Gentiles were had been converted to Judaism, but they still were not accepted. As a matter of fact, they were most disregarded because that's where we're going to set up the selling of the sacrificial animals. That's where we're going to. Now, they really had a deal going here. I joked about it earlier. These people would travel for many, many miles. They couldn't bring animals with them. They get to the temple. They go into the first courtyard of the temple. Here, someone just happens to be selling animals for sacrifice. They had to buy those animals. Those animals were sponsored by the temple. They would only accept monetary offerings in shekels. We experienced a little bit of this shekel phenomenon while we were there. They would pay, we could pay with things in American money, and boy, they just handed those shekels right back to you. Even today, we walk around the walled city and the money changers are on every corner. And it's the same principle as in Jesus' day. You can't walk up there and give them $5 worth of shekels for a $5 bill. You give them a $5 bill and they give you back $3.50 worth of shekels. I think Jesus needs to pay them another visit. So what we're seeing here is what Jesus saw as he entered into the temple area. He came into the court of the Gentiles. He saw, and you've got to respect the Gentiles for showing up at church and not being welcome, but they still came. They were seeking God. They were seeking a relationship with God. Even if they had to have the animal pens out there and the people doing business in their temple, they still came seeking God. Would you all still come to church if we had animals in here and we were selling things? You think you could go over to the flea market under the bridge over at the high school and hold church over there? You could, couldn't you? Because why? What did Jesus do for us? Jesus took that whole temple business away from us, didn't he? We don't have to go to the temple. We don't have to go to the Holy of Holies because Jesus Christ is the Holy of Holies. Where is Jesus Christ? Where does he live today? You in there? That's where we hope he lives. Does everyone today have him living in there in our world? I feel sorry for those folks. That's why it's even more important that we let them know what's in here, what's inside, what's in our hearts. So Jesus went in, he saw the mess that they had made of things. And folks, it was just about greed. It was just about a way to make a buck on the tourists. Every church you go to over there in the Holy Land, every holy site you go to, it's like Disney World. You got to exit through the gift shop. Any of you folks notice that? The gift shop is just beyond the exit, and you can't get out unless you go through the gift shop. Now there was a nice little monk fellow sitting there at Jacob's well making some nice little pots. He would draw water from Jacob's well. Now that's pretty special. He would pour the water in there, and he had some candles, and he would melt wax on the top of that and sell to the tourists. Wonder where he got that idea. By the way, we have a couple. Right? Our dining room table is covered with all of our memorabilia from the Holy Land. It's still going on today. Do things change over time, really?
No.
Does the problem over there seem to be a new problem?
No.
Okay, I'm getting off track. No, it's not a new problem. When Jesus saw these poor Gentiles coming to church and being treated more or less as not second-class citizens, but maybe fourth or fifth-class citizens, they were really not welcome there. We're going to set up shop out of here, and we're going to sell you things that you have to buy to come into the temple to worship. Because God said you have to pay us in shekels. That would be, like I referenced earlier, members of our church have membership dues, and then you non-members are going to pay a surcharge on top of that. Finance committee, aren't you glad we don't do that? Could you imagine trying to keep track of that paperwork? That's not the way we worship. We just had our
stewardship campaign, so you know the needs of the church and how you can contribute to the operation of the church and the ministries that go on here. But you know what? We would have church here if we only had that yard out there. You know, when we had the fire here, I had so many people call, and I guess what they showed on the news was, oh, the sanctuary burnt to the ground, church is over. No, it's not. Where is the church?
We are the church.
Back in here, right? Back in there. It's nice to have this building. And I tell you, I love air conditioning. I love it being cool in here. And I'm sorry if you're cold. But sometimes I bump that down and make it nice and cool in here. And I love that. But if God told all of us to go out here and gather over here in this field and set it in an anthill and worship me, would we do it?
Amen.
You know what? Not all of us would.
It's too hot. That grass is wet. There's ants out there.
But that's what we're called to do. The temple now is within us. So these folks that ran the temple, they had a real good gig going, didn't they? What did Jesus mean? They had been working on that temple. And I can see why. Because you know what? We saw the big blocks that used to be the temple they had toppled over. They were pretty big, weren't they? We were always amazed at how they could move these huge pieces of stone and build things out of them. But Jesus said, tear this temple down and I will build it in 3 days. What did he mean by that? We explained a little bit of that. What did Jesus mean by that? You remember? The temple was not those stones piled on top of one another, were they? Isn't it amazing? In our Lenten study, I always say, how did God know this was going to happen? We have all these prophecies, prophetic. The prophets would come and tell these stories of something they had heard. Most people say, yeah, right. Because sometimes it was 600, 700, 800, 900 years later, it happened. I am utterly amazed that God could put that kind of puzzle together. I'm not really amazed. That's not true. God is an awesome God.
Amen.
God can do what we can't even think of. And when Jesus went into the temple, he found that their affection was for money. And their method was to take advantage of those coming to worship. The story of this, the title of this sermon, this message today is God Knows Our Hearts. You think that day when Jesus entered the temple courts in the Gentile section and he saw the people coming in that were oppressed, you think his heart was softened for them? And then looking around, seeing those who were taking advantage of, he was pretty upset. The lion's side of him showed up. Scripture says, this people that honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrine. Folks, we're in trouble when we start putting our human feelings and our human thoughts in place of God's doctrine. Are we guilty of that today? Sometimes we are. Sometimes we think we're smarter than God. God, I don't know. You sort of messed this up. You sort of messed this up. Listen to my way and see if this sounds better to you. Isn't it amazing that the disciples remembered from Psalm 69, and I like this,
Jesus' version of Psalm 69:9. It turns from past tense to future tense. And what Jesus says, the temple can be raised in 3 days. It will be. So folks, as we gather in our temple here, don't bring a sheep or a goat next week. Your shekels are fine. We are to honor God. Because God knows what's in our hearts. God knows that He had to send Jesus to fulfill His purpose. I'm pretty happy with that, are you? It's a long way to Jerusalem, and if we had to pack up and fly 11, 12, 13 hours over there once a year, that's a good thing to do. That would be sort of inconvenient, wouldn't it? So we could either come here and meet in this building, or we could go out there and sit on the grass. We can worship Jesus where He meets us, where we find Him in our hearts. And we hope there's not enough room in our hearts to sell idols, to sell things. That puts an extra meaning on a pure heart, doesn't it? A pure heart. No longer does the temple represent the presence of God. Now Jesus represents the presence of God. God made flesh and dwells with us. So folks, as we leave here today, be willing to let God see what's in your heart. Don't put a cover over it and try to hide it from God. Because He knows. He knows if you're here to sell a sheep or a goat, or if you're here to worship the true living God. He knows your heart. As we close this morning, I want to remind you that the altar here is always open. It always is. If at some point during any service we have here that you feel the need to come and kneel at this altar, this rail, I want you to always know that you can do that. And today I'm inviting you to do that. As we come and renew our commitment to Jesus and to tell God that we have a pure heart. We have a clean heart. As King David prayed, "Dear Lord, create in me a clean heart and put a new and right spirit within me," Jesus will answer your prayer because while He may not be safe, He is good. So I invite you this morning as we go into our closing hymn, if you feel the need to come and be with God, to come and see Jesus for a minute, come down to the altar. He's always here for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn. "It Is Well With My Soul," a song that's very special to me. It has a special place in my heart. Come down front if you feel the need to meet your Jesus here this morning.
Thank you.
We feel the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus has showed up for church this morning.
Amen.
Receive this blessing. As you leave this place, go forth as people bold in their faith in Jesus Christ, living strongly in your hearts. Go forth and tell others of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.